Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Workshop highlights Strategic Plan Financial Report. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees will meet for a work session at 6 p.m. Tuesday in the first floor boardroom of the Administration Building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. Items on the agenda are a quarterly update on the district's strategic plan and the annual financial report. The district began work on the strategic plan, The Future Is Now, in March 2019, to guide the work of the district through the year 2024, supplemental agenda material said. There will be quarterly strategic plan board updates on the different projects of the strategic plan. On Tuesday, it will include implementing personalized professional learning and establishing district technology standardization. Gardener arraigned in Nebraska faces felony. Ector County Commissioner Mike Gardner was arraigned in Lancaster County, Nebraska, District Court Friday on a second-degree assault charge in connection with the shooting of his grandson. According to court staff, Gardner's next court date is December 18th. Gardner turned himself into authorities October 2nd. Days after he shot his grandson at a wedding, Gardner was officiating. He was released after posting a $10,000 bond. Gardner planned to fire off a gun to start off the ceremony, but when he cocked back the hammer of the gun, it slipped, and a homemade blank fired and struck the 12-year-old in the shoulder. Originally, Gardner was arrested on suspicion of child abuse and neglect, serious bodily injury, which is punishable by 0 to 3 years in prison, 9 to 18 months of post-release supervision, a $10,000 fine, or both. The second-degree assault charge carries a prison sentence of 0 to 20 years. A week after the incident, Gardner read the following statement at a news conference. The situation does not affect my role as County Commissioner for Precinct 1 unless and until such a time I am convicted of a disqualifying charge. I will continue to act in this role and will seek re-election as well. My wife Angela has been the rock of our family through this, and we will continue to focus on making sure that the boys have what is needed to heal physically and emotionally. I thank you again. I thank all those who have reached out with prayers and support, and we're very thankful for the friends and family that have been here and supported me through this very difficult time. I ask that you continue your prayers of healing from my grandson. If you're representing the press or any press organization, be sure to sign in and I will send out an email to you today, Gardner said. The Washington Post reported Gardner used a borrowed Pietta 1860 snub-nose revolver that was loaded with homemade blanks. Gardner said he did not use a fully loaded blank because he did not want a loud bang, and that's why he made a homemade blank. While he had shot blanks before, Gardner admitted that he had not shot a homemade blank before that day. Gardner said he used someone else's gun instead of one of his own because it was more suitable for what I had in mind for the wedding. The firearm is not considered an unsafe gun, he said. Gardner told the Post he understands the shooting has put his political future in jeopardy. He knows he won't be in office anymore if he's convicted, and said he won't push back if it comes to that. That's how it is, said Gardner, who is up for re-election in 2024. If you're convicted, you don't serve anymore. I've never tried to skirt that issue. He said the grandson he shot was one of his 20 grandchildren. The boy is a twin and loves baseball, hunting, and fishing, Gardner said. He added that the 12-year-old has been discharged from the hospital and is back in Odessa. Gardner said he spoke with the bride and groom, who said they were sick about what happened, but the family has supported one another since the shooting. Accidents happen, Gardner said, before thanking God for his grandson surviving. Commissioners meet Tuesday at Annex. Ector County Commissioners will meet Tuesday, 10 a.m. at the County Annex to discuss a number of items, including an MOU interlocal agreement between Ector County and the City of Odessa, and the purchase of a drone for the Ector County Sheriff's Office. The agenda includes discussion of shutting down the library on February 15, 2024, during normal business hours for a staff training day, and to authorize hiring customer service expert Sandra Crane to lead staff training sessions for a fee of $1,100. Discussion of a jury selection plan as required by Texas Government Code Section 62.011, and as unanimously recommended by the local district judges. Discussion of the library going fine-free for the month of December with the use of their Food for Fines program, and authorize the donation of all collected food cans to the West Texas Food Bank. Discussion of the Airport Rescue Plan Act grant agreement for Odessa-Schlemyer Field Airport. Discussion of the Airport Coronavirus Relief Grant Program grant agreement for Odessa-Schlemyer Field Airport. Discussion of a 5-year sponsorship signage agreement between Oventive USA Incorporated and the Ector County Coliseum in the amount of $75,000. Discussion of the ground lease agreement between Larry Nunez, in addition to Larry Oath, the Odessa-Schlemyer Field Airport, to become effective during the closing of personal property sales between Larry Nunez and Larry Oath. Discussion of an MOU interlocal agreement between Ector County and the City of Odessa. To consider, discuss, and take any necessary action to receive a presentation from Jerry Morales and Lazoya General Contractors regarding the Complete Compliance Solutions project being constructed at 6175 West Murphy Street. Discuss the purchase of a $146,900 drone for the Sheriff's Office. Midland man killed in wreck Friday. A 28-year-old Midland man was killed Friday morning in a 3-vehicle crash 10 miles west of Garden City. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, a preliminary investigation showed Edward Scott Abedroth Jr. rear-ended a 26-year-old Florida man as both were driving trucks with trailers east of State Highway 158. He was pronounced dead at the scene. A Peterbilt truck that was hauling 120 cattle was struck by debris from the crash, and the driver lost control and his vehicle rolled, DPS stated. 44 of the cows died. Neither the Florida driver nor the driver hauling cattle, a 34-year-old Odessan, were hurt. Election Day is Tuesday in Texas. Easy ISD bond props are at stake locally. A $436,109,000 3-proposition Ector County ISD bond and 14 state constitutional amendments are on the ballot for the November 7th election. Voters can cast ballots for 1, 2, or 3 of the bond propositions. It will not affect the district's tax rate. Since 2020, ECISD has made early payments of about $37.3 million on existing bonds, and by prepayments and refinancing, saved taxpayers $26.9 million in future investment payments. Based upon the district's existing tax base, the district will not need to increase the total tax rate of $1.014 to pay the $436,109,000 of bond projects. The ballot language will say that it is a tax increase, as that is required by a 2019 state law affecting all bond referendums. Citizens for Responsible Government has mailed out postcards opposing the bond, but other than that, Superintendent Scott Murray said he hasn't seen any organized opposition. Mary said they've probably done about 100 bond presentations in the district and community, plus a Basin PBS town hall, broadcasts on social media posts, and TV commercials. There will be an ECISD Board of Trustees meeting at 6 p.m. Tuesday. The polls close at 7 p.m. Mary said it would be abbreviated so they can keep tabs on the results. Propositions A for $424,263,000 includes a new career and technical education center to be located in South Odessa, a new middle school in West Odessa, district-wide maintenance and repairs, a new transportation facility, and bus purchases. Also, placement of the district's phone system, PA, bell, clock, fire alarm system replacements, a security camera refresh, classroom interactive flat panels, and large group instruction area audiovisual equipment. It also includes a complete renovation of the Permian High School auditorium, replacing outdated instruments, performance risers for all middle school choirs, classroom instruments for elementary campuses, uniforms for middle school bands and mariachi, JROTC facility needs, a complete replacement of the Transition Learning Center for students with special needs learning to transition from school to the workforce, and complete replacement of classroom buildings at Barnes at the Agriculture Farm. Also, LED lighting at the Odessa High School Baseball and Tennis Stadium, LED lighting at the Permian High School Baseball Stadium, resurfacing at tennis stadiums at all middle schools, and replacement of indoor bleachers in main gyms at all middle schools, purchasing land for the new land purchase for new CTE center and new middle school. Proposition B for $8,096,000 includes a concrete overlay of bleachers, updating restrooms, LED lighting for the stadium parking lot, LED lighting at track field event venue, air conditioning, heating for the south building locker rooms, replacing one grass field with artificial turf. Also includes any major maintenance needs at the stadium complex identified in facilities assessment report. Proposition C for $3,750,000 includes a new indoor practice facility for Odessa High School and new artificial turf for the existing indoor practice facility at Permian High School. According to the law, these indoor practice facilities must be separate bond proposals for voters to consider. Odessan accused of strangling girlfriend. An Odessa man is facing multiple assault charges after his girlfriend accused him of strangling her one night and pointing a gun at her and assaulting her the next day. According to an Odessa Police Department report, 911 dispatchers received a call around 8:30 a.m. October 28th from the Brady Station Apartments, and they could hear a man in the background yelling in the background for 6 minutes while calling a woman a derogatory name. They also received a text from the phone with the single word of help. When officers arrived, the 911 caller told them she'd been arguing with her boyfriend, Julius Ray Rendon, 24, for a few days, and the night before he'd strangled her before they both left their apartment, the report stated. They came back to the apartment later that night, and he took the couch while she took the bed, the report stated. The 23-year-old woman said she woke up when Rendon threw something heavy at her and pointed a gun at her while telling her she needed to get her stuff and leave. After Rendon went to work, the woman said she texted to tell him she needed a day to move out. However, she told officers Rendon came back to the apartment and began throwing things, the report stated. According to the report, the woman said she called police, and when she went outside to wait for officers, he pulled her hair and took the phone out of her hand. Officers found injuries to the woman's neck, head, nose, and hip, the report stated. They also noticed she had loose hair coming out where she said Rendon had pulled it. officers sought several warrants for Rendon when they couldn't immediately find him. On Saturday, an Odessa officer recognized Rendon while Rendon was driving a Chevrolet Impala and, knowing he had warrants, pulled him over. After noticing the smell of marijuana coming from the car, the officer searched it and found two guns in the car and a small amount of marijuana. Rendon was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, assault impeding breath, assault causing bodily injury, interfering with an emergency request for assistance, unlawful carrying of a weapon, and possession of marijuana. Rendon remained in the jail Monday night on surety bonds totaling $62,000. Two facing aggravated assault charges. A trio of Odessans were arrested Friday afternoon on multiple felony charges following a gun call. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers received a subject with a gun call around 4:30 p.m. from the Marshall store on Highway 191, and when they were on their way, dispatchers told them a man wearing a mask had been arguing in the parking lot and had gone into the store. When OPD officers arrived, they learned UTPB officers had detained a man matching the subject's description, Frederick Davis, 25. The officer spoke with a man who told them he'd gotten into an argument with a man later identified as Jesus Galarza, 24, about a parking spot, and when he drove away, Galarza hit his car, the report stated. The man further stated that when he parked his car, Galarza and Davis walked toward his car while pointing guns at him, and when he walked away, they followed him, telling him he was dead, the report stated. He said Davis spit on him and was trying to fight with him before he and Galarza both went into Marshall's. A witness told police he saw Davis point a gun at the man and Galarza lift up his shirt to show his gun, the report stated. According to the report, surveillance video caught the three men arguing in front of the store and Davis putting his gun in his waistband as he went into the store. Police found a .40 caliber Glock in a box filled with stuffed animals inside the store, the report stated. Officers were told Galarza left the scene in a Nissan, and DPS troopers found the Nissan at Loop 338 and Eastridge and took Galarza and Margarita Marquez, 28, into custody. According to the report, officers found a 9mm handgun on the driver's side floorboard of the car. They found a jar of 5.535 ounces of marijuana in the glove box and just over 6 grams of cocaine in the wallet and some baggies. Galarza was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, possession of a controlled substance, possession of marijuana, and unlawful carrying of a weapon. He remained in custody Monday night on surety bonds totaling $52,000. Davis was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, unlawful carrying of a weapon, and tampering with evidence. He was also arrested on a Behar County warrant for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He, too, remained in custody Monday night. His bond is in Friday's case totaled $41,500. Marquez was booked on suspicion of possession of a controlled substance and possession of marijuana. She was released Saturday after posting surety bonds totaling $25,000. OC Honors recognizes outstanding individuals and organizations for their impact on education. Odessa College will hold its annual OC Honors Luncheon at 11:30 a.m. November 8th at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street, to celebrate outstanding individuals and organizations who have contributed to improving education in the Permian Basin. Those recognized at this year's event will be the outstanding individual Chris Cole, outstanding educator Dr. Scott Murray, outstanding nonprofit Permian Strategic Partnership, outstanding business First Basin Credit Union, and the Community Impact Award winner, Andrews Independent School District. Individual tickets and tables are available for purchase online at odessa.edu/OC Honors. Tickets will also be on sale at the event. The event will feature keynote speaker Noel Quinos, Emmy Award winner, Puerto Rican writer, actor, educator, and community organizer from the Bronx. Quinos has performed on stages across the country, including Lincoln Center, Harvard University, BAM, The High Museum of Art, Atlanta, Stanford University, the Museum of Fine Arts, Houston, American University, and the Honolulu Museum of Art. His work has been showcased on Huffington Post, Vibe, Tidal Music, Latina Magazine, Medium, Univision, Me Too, and elsewhere. He is the founder of Project X, a Bronx-based arts organization, at 40 Under 40 Rising Latino Star recipient, and member of the 2019 Intercultural Leadership Institute cohort. He is a recent graduate of the University of Mississippi MFA program, where he was the 2019 John and Renee Grisham Poetry Fellow, winning the D.C. Berry Prize in Creative Writing and the Bondurant Poetry Prize.
This is the Dear Abby column. Recording may be worth more than 1,000 words. Dear Abby, I have some advice for your readers who write regarding problems with how others behave badly or are verbally abusive or inappropriate toward them. Hopefully, it will help someone. I suggest recording video of the offending individual while it's happening, and then showing them the video later when they are calm, sober, receptive. If the behavior is drug or alcohol driven, this can show the person they're not fun and funny. They are obnoxious and offensive. I'm certain I would have quit drinking years earlier had I been able to see how I acted while intoxicated. This advice could also work with a relative you are concerned about with regard to dementia or Alzheimer's. You could show the video to their doctor rather than make generalizations about their behavior. Telling your husband to talk to his mom about how critical or rude she is to you puts your husband on the spot, and it's still a she-said-she-said situation. Maybe your mother-in-law has no idea how she sounds, but she should. If a picture is worth 1,000 words, a video is worth even more. Signed, Gotcha in California. Dear Gotcha, I'm printing your letter because I think in some cases it has merit. However, videoing someone who is in the middle of a rant or some other socially unacceptable activity could cause some individuals to become violent. Stop videotaping me! That's why I have to add that if one chooses to do this, they should be aware of the risk. Dear Abby, I'm a 35-year-old woman who is married to a 27-year-old man. We currently live in the same house as his mother. She lives downstairs, we live upstairs. Thanks to my husband's upbringing, he has a hair-trigger temper. His dad has an explosive temper, and his mother is a narcissist. He's never directed it at me, but his mother sets him off. Sometimes I think she does it on purpose because she has some kind of victim complex. I have tried everything to help him control his temper. Nothing has worked. It has become normal for me to end the day with them fighting. I am exhausted by them. If they're home before I go to work, they'll get into some sort of yelling match. When I'm finishing my work day, he'll call me, and I'll hear them arguing on the phone. I'm tired of the fighting. It's creating so much anxiety and depression. I have told him this and asked him to at least try to stop. But it's still the same. What do I do? Signed, Surrounded by War in Texas. Dear Surrounded, you are more mature than your husband, both emotionally and chronologically. He is still under his mother's thumb, which is why she's so good at pushing his buttons. It's time for you both to move as far away from his mother's dwelling as possible. If you do, he will have less exposure to his mother, and you may have peace under your roof, once you unplug the phone. You can contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.